Well, live in the Gem State long enough and you're going to hear stories of haunted places, from the old Idaho Penn to the Communication Building at Boise State University. Some of these stories have become legend, but, you know, are they real? For more than a decade, the folks at Big River Paranormal have been investigating these buildings as well as homes and other areas that may be haunted. Joining me live to talk more about this is Big River Paranormal Executive Director Marie Cuff. Welcome on this Halloween.
Ah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's get started. Let's talk about some of those infamous ghost stories like BSU, the Old Penn, the Idenhah Hotel downtown Boise. Have you been to these? You felt presences, I'm
assuming?
Well,
I've been to all of them.
Okay.
The old Idaho Penn happens to be one of my favorites. So I was touched there.
You were?
I were.
Do you know by whom?
I don't. I was taking photos and got down to the second cell from the end where it was really dark and I was leaning in all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt just like a man reached up and rubbed his fingers through my hair.
Stop it.
And then I heard, ooh, pretty.
Stop. Oh, I just got chills. Wow. Okay, so what about the Idenhah Hotel? Because,
you know, we've gotten a lot of reports
right.
from the Idenhah Hotel. Unfortunately, when we went in and did an investigation there, they did a pretty poor job building the apartments.
Mm.
So if somebody sneezes or turns on their TV and things like that, you can hear it. So pretty much everything we did there was contaminated.
Oh, so you don't really know. And they might
we
be on.
Don't know.
So are spirits like on good behavior sometimes? Like when you go in to investigate or do they want their presence known?
Well, I think that's why we're able to capture, you know, electronic voice phenomenon and things like that, because they do want their presence known. They're there for a reason, whatever that may be, whether it's they need to speak with a family member or, you know, tell their aunt where the will is or whatever it may be.
Well, you know, before we came on air, you said something I thought was interesting where you said every time you are contacted, there is an explanation usually for why there would potentially be a presence.
Well, not every single time. What I said was about 90 to 95% of the cases that we go on actually have a logical explanation for the activity. So they're reporting cold spots, but they have drafts around the windows or things like that. So we always have to look for those things prior to calling something paranormal or...
So that goes to my question about skeptics or critics of this, because exactly what you said, well, oh, please, they have a draft. Well, you know, close the window.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what do you say to that?
I have skeptics on my team.
Really?
You know, we investigate from a scientific standpoint and we do have to look for any logical explanation for the activity. So I think a skeptic is a very good thing. And whatever we capture, as long as it's not a confidential investigation, gets placed on our website and people are more than happy to, you know, more than welcome to take a look and form their own opinions.
And you do have, I mean, people call, they have complaints. What is, I mean, is that pretty normal? And is it usually like the same type of thing? Like, oh, we hear something or there's a draft. I mean, what are those types of complaints when you get contacted?
Well, the first thing a client typically says when they contact me and I answer the phone is, you're going to think I'm crazy, but, and then I have to remember why it is they called me.
Right.
A lot of the complaints or reports are very common, you know, footsteps, doors opening and closing, electrical, things like that. So, but each one in its own right is different because your clients are different.
So when you go out on these calls, how often would you say percentage-wise that you really do find a paranormal activity?
You're looking at 1% to 5%.
So it's not that common then.
It's not.
And would people be surprised by that? Because I think with all, and the reason why I ask that is it's, you know, we see all of these television shows. We, you know, you hear all of these stories. So it seems that there would be hauntings everywhere.
Well, I don't think people are surprised necessarily, at least as much as they would have been 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm.
I think people have become a lot more educated because of some of the shows.
I like that, some of them.
So they've become a lot more educated, and that helps a good deal. You know, before when we would get dozens and dozens of calls because somebody heard the slightest little noise, now people kind of research on their own and rule out some things. So when we do get a call, it tends to be a pretty interesting case.
Okay, so tell me if you can, what one that's, you know, for public consumption, because like you said, some of yours are confidential. Craziest or most interesting?
That would be the old Penn when I was touched there. The Egyptian Theater is
Ooh, tell
really
me about
interesting
that.
Because there's a projectionist that haunts the theater. His name was Joe, and he loved the theater there. And employees have reported, you know, being like pinched on their leg or tapped or things like that. And when I was there several years ago with Dan Hamilton, who was working for Fox 12 at the time, we did a lot of work with him. He was standing on stage and I was sitting up in the seats. And I looked down and I said, Dan, just don't move. Relax. Why? Because there's someone standing right next to you, and you could see the outline, you know, pretty strong outline of a man standing there next to him. So, Dan, exit stage left.
Heck yeah. So what about, now, do you stay just in the Treasure Valley, or do you investigate across the state?
No, we cover all of Idaho. I even have a team in Eastern Oregon and in Portland. And then we can go anywhere else we want, like I've done Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And
really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that like to go into something like that where, because there are so many sad things that happen, that have happened when we look at like a sanitarium or something like that. Do you feel that when you go in there?
You can definitely, I mean, it just, even when you walk into the old pen during the day, and Waverly Hills is the same, you can feel the history. You certainly can. And nighttime just makes it even more interesting. But being a member of the TAPS family, I'm very blessed in that we have teams all across the United States and overseas. So I'm lucky enough that if I need to investigate somewhere or want to, I can do that.
And that's got to make a big difference, too. And what's it like for your clients when you can rule out paranormal activity, or you can say, okay, we did find something. What's that? What's their response?
A majority of the time, they're actually really relieved, because if we find a logical explanation that makes them happy, they can fix it, and that's fine. Most of them just want validation. They want to know that they aren't going crazy, that they may, in fact, have something there. And then based on that, it's up to them, their religious preferences, what they would like done as to where we go from there or who we refer them to from there.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. I find this fascinating.
Oh.
And I'm sure that on this Halloween, we have all kinds of people who are probably going to be wondering, should I go to the Egyptian Theater tonight? What about the old pen?
Just make sure you always have permission to
yes,
be there.
Yes, exactly. Always, right? Well, because then they might get upset with you. And I'm not talking about the people
who
are running the place. I'm talking about the spirits.
Be respectful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. My guest today, Big River Paranormal Executive Director, Marie Cuff. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me.